The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
And that would be the soul of Jefferson.
Amen.
Morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa and
Janet Chandler
and Wynn Carpenter. Good morning.
And we're broadcasting live from KCNR Studios on Jefferson State of Mind, 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, and 1460 AM. We are your talk radio. You can find us. We are streaming live on KCNRradio.com, KCNRradio.com. And we archive forever.
And ever.
And ever.
Amen.
Amen.
And so when we archive also, it's about 5 minutes after the show is done, so if you want to share this program, you can. So anyway, here we are, and this morning we have some breaking news. We do have a guest. It's Supervisor Chris Kelster. Morning, Chris.
Good morning.
And so he is in here today. We're going to bring up some breaking news. We just heard that Kevin Kiley is no longer a Republican, and it's become declined to state. And apparently his district, because of this Prop 50 business, his district has gone further left than it used to be, to say the least. I think they divided his district up into like five or so different districts. So he sort of got stuck out there in no man's land and decided to become a declined to state.
At what point do we decline to state that we are California and we step forward to state that we are Jefferson?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it gets to the point, we'll talk about that a little bit this morning in regards to the fact that, I mean, how far do we want to push this envelope and how far are they going to push us?
They've already pushed us out.
You think?
We no longer exist as far as they're concerned.
So anyway, Chris, you're running again for your second term. You've done a lot in your first term and gotten some things done for the folks in your district. Just give us a couple of minutes on your background a little bit for those newer voters who may not know who you are.
Well, I was born and raised right here in Shasta County. Went to the same high school as my parents did, Enterprise High. Graduated there in 86. First moved down to Cottonwood in 1990, I believe, or actually 1989. Anyways, so lived there for several years, met my ex-wife, moved to Sacramento, lived down there for 10 years. I describe it as I did my sentence down there for 10 or 12 years because, you know, we rented for 10 years when we were down there because it wasn't home. It was temporary. So after 10 years, I'm like, okay, it's no longer temporary. We're here. So we ended up buying our first home down there and then had our daughter. And, you know, we managed to survive down there for 10 or 12 years, but I certainly wasn't going to raise my daughter down there. So we moved back home in 2001, been here ever since, moved to Cottonwood and, you know, been happily ever after, except I don't have an ex-wife anymore, so, you know.
Now, didn't you run a supermarket or assistant manager or manager something even, it's very, very young?
Yeah, when I worked at Riverview Market on Michelli Lane, mm-hmm. which in high school was my first job, like 16 years old. Well, I had paper out before then, but, mm-hmm. And then I got a job in Anderson, and, yeah, within about 6 months I moved to manager. I was 19 years old, and I began managing that store, so it was a great opportunity for a 19-year-old kid, and, you know, shout out to the owners for giving a 19-year-old an opportunity like that. So, yeah, I got into management, and then when we moved down to Sacramento area, I worked for a chain out of Lodi, Marvel Foods, and I did everything from managed to assistant managed to freight crew managed to the corporate office. So worked for them. It was a really good job, and that's one of the reasons we didn't get back up here. My ex-wife couldn't find work up here as much as she could down there. I had a really good job down there. Life was good. We had lots of friends, and everything was great. But like I say, it wasn't home. It never was home. And right. We were always coming back here, so it's great to be back.
Yeah, you know, you've got a record to run on, and your opponents, Mike Gallagher, I believe, is fairly new in the political arena, I think.
He was appointed to the Anderson City Council from the Planning Commission.
And what year was that? Do you know?
I think he's been there about 5 years now.
5 years. So now, has he won a re-election yet?
I believe the first election, I think it was pretty much unopposed. And so the last election was when Bonnie Simmons and Darren Hale got on there.
Okay.
The last election. And Susie Baugh got reelected. So I think his term's up. I think it's up this year with Dan Gallier. So
what do you think the three things that you have done as a supervisor, what are you most proud of the three things that you've done?
Well, I ran on term limits the first time. It was one of the many things I ran on, and I brought those in Measure C. The people of Shasta County voted for term limits for supervisors by about 77%. So obviously that resonated well with the people. So theoretically, I could run for another term. I mean, legally, I should say, I could run for another term after this next one, but it would be basically going against the spirit of my own law you know, I had put on the books. So the only way I would do that is if there was just absolutely nobody worth any salt to be running. But I don't plan on that happening, so... we have some good people out there. There's a lot of good people. Ironically, there's a couple of people that I probably would have helped out that are now running against me. So, you know, and I want to make it clear, I am not running against James Gallagher. The James Gallagher signs is not who I'm running against. I endorse James Gallagher, and I love James Gallagher, and James Gallagher is a fantastic replacement for Doug LaMalfa. I want to make that very clear.
That's pretty sad. People are voting because...
An uninformed voter. That's why we're doing this, Chris.
Yeah.
I've had people reach out to me go, well, I've been seeing his signs go up. I'm like, no, you haven't. You know, so, why is he running against you? I thought he was taking Doug's spot. He's like, he's not running against me. So, yeah, it's very unfortunate.
I talked to somebody down in Marin County on the Republican Central Committee down there, their chairman, and he thought Gallagher was running for the new District 2. You know,
he is.
He can't
because he's not in the new district.
No, he's in the new District 1.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, so he's running for Doug LaMalfa's spot now.
And then that's it. He's gone.
No. Then he just pulled his campaign papers to run for the new District 1.
Okay, did he decide to finally get in there and get in the race against McGuire?
Yeah, I think Friday he pulled his papers.
Was it Friday?
Yeah.
That's good information because we didn't know that. We know that he hadn't, he was just running for the remainder of Doug's term, but I mean, that's great. I hope he does run against McGuire. I don't know what that's going to look like. I mean, he'll get the voting up here. That's for
is
sure.
Is there anyone else running for the rest of LaMalfa's term?
There was a gentleman I met, Colby. I can't remember his last name. Colby. He's running as an independent. And, you know, great guy. He said all the right things, you know, which anybody can say all the right things.
Right.
But he's running as an independent. I met with him and talked to him, and I mean, first of all, I told him it's pretty hard to win anything as an independent. I think Dr. DeNuca proved that. You know, Dr. DeNuca had a great campaign, and I mean, he had a great message. Everybody looked, and they didn't see an R, and they didn't see a D, so.
That was gone.
Yeah.
Hey, with that, I want to ask you a question. So, when, okay, and let's get some clarity on this, okay, because what Chris is talking about is not the remainder of Doug's term, right?
Well, he's running for that.
For that, and?
And.
And he's running for the
new.
District 1
correct.
New. That's what he's talking about. So let's get some clarity into that. So in the new situation where we have just the term that Doug didn't complete because of his death, there's like 3 months that we'd have a congressman, right?
Well, it depends. If the election is over in the primary, then he will be in there until January.
Till January.
Well, yeah, okay. So, yeah. But the election is until August.
Correct. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. About 3 months.
Newsom did that on purpose, so we have no representation.
It is
right
in
now.
June.
But that is not what Mark Moisier said. Mark Moisier said that the election would be at the primary in June, and then if there's a runoff, the general election would be in August.
No, they're having a special election in August.
In August.
Okay, so Mark Moisier was not correct.
I didn't hear him say that, but I mean, he could have. I don't remember him saying that. I remember when I talked to him personally, he explained it to me. And he texted us the other night. You were over the house, Janet, when Mark texted us. So, no, the deal, from the way I understand it, is that James Gallagher will be running for the seat that Doug vacated, was vacated by Doug when he passed away. And that means that that's a special election because Newsom did string it out as far as he could into August, which means if whoever gets elected there in August will run for the remainder of Doug's term. Then there's another election for the new districting.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, and I think you just answered it, you said that James pulled papers for running for the new District 1. So he is going to be looking going long term in the new District 1, which Shasta County is not in, Modoc's not in, Siskiyou County's not in, et cetera. Okay. So is that pretty much it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, yeah, okay. And again, the guy I talked to was an independent, and I'm not sure if it was District 1 or District 2. They're so convoluted, it's hard to even, but he was in R, so I guess he must have been District 2. He's going to run as an independent, but you know, he's from the Bay Area. He's a registered Democrat. He switched over to independent and he moved to, Humboldt. He's living in Humboldt.
Gotcha.
Oh, geez. Humboldt. Well, Bay Area Democrat. What's not to vote for?
Well, yeah. He's probably going to be more conservative than the one that actually has the D next to their name, But the bottom line is when I'm talking to him, he had his map in front of me, and he's looking at his map, and I said, the problem is these people down here, and I pointed to the Bay Area, which is now going to represent us. I said, these people down here have no idea our problems up here. They don't have a clue about our problems up here. And he says, well, like what? I said, like the wolves. And he says, and he, honest question, he goes, is the wolves that big of a deal? I said, it's huge. Yeah, they are killing cows and calves every single day. Every day. In the North State, some are getting killed every day.
When they're in your backyard, they are a big deal.
Right. And I mean, and not only are they just killing calves and cows, but they're also causing so much stress in the herds. The herds aren't, you know, getting healthy and gaining weight like they should. Cows are aborting fetuses. I mean, it's every single day. Horses are getting killed. I mean, it's every day. And then he mentioned that he had bears coming into his apple orchard. And it's so frustrating because I looked at him, and again, nice guy, but I said, do you know why you had bears coming in your apple orchard in Humboldt County? Well, I guess they were hungry. I said, no, because we banned bear hunting with dogs. State of California banned bear hunting with dogs a dozen years ago. Right. I said, and it used to be they killed 1,700 bears. The bear season would go until they killed 1,700 bears or until December 31st. And they usually would hit 1,700 mid-December. They'd close bear season for the year. And I said, now they have not reached that. They have never reached that number since they stopped that. So I think last year they killed about 1,200 bears. So now you have an extra 500 bears running out there, producing 500 more bears or more every year. And, you know, they're running out there, and the bears are now running out of habitat. They're expanding. Modoc County, you could never hunt bears in Modoc County, because there was so few of them up there. They were almost extinct in Modoc County. Now the cattle ranchers are not only getting hit by wolves and mountain lions, now they're getting hit by bears, too, because the bears have expanded their territories because, you know, they're hungry. They're looking for habitat.
And we have mountain lions running around the residential areas of Bernie.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's not just conjecture. They've got them on video and film.
Yeah.
And, again, we can't hunt mountain lions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure my dog was taken out by a mountain lion in Cottonwood about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And he just disappeared. And at the same time that we were seeing a mountain lion in the neighborhood, people have been seeing a mountain lion in there.
Free food.
And, you know, the mountain lion thing, I mean, that's just another California thing. I was living down in Sacramento area when they put that on the ballot to put them back on the hunting season on them because they'd gotten to reach the numbers. You know, they were very small numbers in the 70s, and that's why they protected them. Which is great and made sense, but now those numbers have expanded to where they could need some population control. And there is a lady named Barbara Schoner that was jogging outside east of Sacramento and got attacked by a mountain lion and killed. And there was more, and then they tracked down the mountain lion. It was a female with cubs. They euthanized her and captured the cubs, and there was more money raised for those cubs than there was for Barbara Schoner's children.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I mean, that's
unbelievable.
I would like to get back to the original question, and that was the 3 points that you think you have done a good job as supervisor. So we had term limits.
So I brought term limits. I can't be happier with some of the strides that we've made in resource management with code enforcement and permitting process. I'm not going to take credit for it because it's the team there that has just done extremely good work, very good work. The man that I put in charge, Sean Ewing, he has like 20 years experience in the private sector. So he's, you know, aware of when you can't just hold up permits forever and it's costing the people money.
Right.
So you finally have a little different perspective there. But they've taken great strides. The permitting process, I mean, they try to find you a way to get your permit. I was in the barbershop one day when Woody was still in town, and we called it my southern office because if I didn't have anything to do, I'd go hang out at the barbershop, talk to people. And a gentleman was getting his hair cut, and he's telling Woody a story. He didn't know, you know, who I was, and he's telling Woody a story. He goes, you know, I had to go down to the county and get a permit. He goes, I was really dreading doing it. He goes, I heard how horrible they are to work with. He goes, but they were really great. They were really helpful. And I kind of chuckled, and I go, you're welcome. And then He said there was two kids there that at the counter that they said, you know, no, we're here to help you. We want to get your project done. We want to find your path forward. You know, we want you to get your project going. And I'm like, and I kind of chuckled. I said, like I said, you're welcome. You know, and Woody was laughing, but you know, so I'm very proud of that. I'm proud of that work there. The code enforcement are now complaint driven. So they used to be, you know, they would have look at satellite photos and see somebody's house had an extension on it that wasn't permitted, and they'd go and find them and go after them. You know, my neighbor over, cargo containers, he had a couple cargo containers on his property. Well, he had solar put in. Our inspector, who's no longer with us, but our inspector came, and first thing he did is he looked at the Doughboy pool, and he said, you know, the little one you buy at Costco. And he says, do you have a permit for that pool? And he says, you're not here to inspect the pool. He says, well, you're supposed to have a fence around it, and you're supposed to have a permit. He goes, you're not here to inspect the pool. You have a limited scope on your inspection duties. You and I both know that. Look at the solar and nothing else on the property. And the guy mentioned he hated coming to Cottonwood, so because we're kind of constitutionalists down there. So he inspected the solar, and sure enough, code enforcement, and this is a dozen years ago, sure enough, code enforcement showed back up. They didn't go after the pool because that would be too obvious, but he had cargo containers, and they went after the cargo containers. And they told him that, you know, he's going to have to remove them, or they're going to start fining him and, you know, take him to an abatement hearing and blah, 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 and, you know, lean his house. And he finally just packed, and this is his childhood home. He grew up in this home. He put a for sale sign up, got rid of the cargo containers, sold his house, and moved. So, you know, that was horrible. So I'm proud to say now that wouldn't happen again. Now, if his neighbors turned him in for having cargo containers, then the code enforcement would go out there and inspect them. Although they wouldn't do cargo containers anymore because we legalized those. We made those legal. So, yeah, we've done a lot of good stuff. You know, got rid of Dominion voting machines was a pretty big one. I mean, that was nationwide news. We got rid of Dominion voting machines. You know, passed a Second Amendment resolution right here in Shasta County. So, I mean, we've done a lot of good stuff. We've got a lot of, you know, we've got a great county council, and I know some people disagree with that, but I'm telling you right now, he's the best county council we've ever had. We've got a fantastic CEO. Somebody mentioned forensic audits the other night, and I know when you ran on forensic audits, and now that I'm in there and, you know, see how the sausage is being made, honest, with Nolda Short, that woman is absolutely amazing. We got Aaron Bertain. We got Jen Rossi. We got our CEO used to be a treasurer in Illinois. So, I mean,
Richard, yeah.
Yeah, he is very fiscal. He is a mm-hmm. fiscal hawk. The whole team is. And, I mean, they don't let you spend anything. I mean, they go through everything with a fine-tooth comb. So we had an individual that wanted to have a pop-up. He wanted to buy a pop-up, you know, pop-up is $100 at Amazon. Well, he wanted his name put on it and positioned, so it was going to be $2,000, custom-made one, and they said, nope, you're not getting that. We're, you know, the county's not wasting these funds. So, I mean, once you get in there and you see the people and you know, certain things come from certain areas, and it's like, you know, Kevin and I both have been there 3.5 years now, so we don't question some of the things that when they come through and we see the department head's name on them, we know that's a solid individual. But if it's coming from the sheriff, or it's coming from resource management, or it's coming from Nolda Short's office, it's like we don't have to dig too deep into it because we know it's already been done.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. You guys have been there 3.5 years, so you're not rookies anymore, you know, and I think that's a good point. There is some, those sound like pretty decent things that have happened as far as, especially for your district, but not even just your district, but the whole county. You know, when you talk about a situation in Shasta County, in fact, that we're in the black, which is really something. Now, I don't know, is Shasta Lake City in the black? We know that Redding isn't, and we know that
Anderson
isn't, but is...
Yeah, and honestly, I don't know Shasta Lake's finances. Okay. I really don't. I know Jessica Lugo does an amazing job up there, and as far as I know, I mean, I haven't heard anything coming from them that they're in dire straits. Anderson had to come in. We gave them $1.5 million, fronted them $1.5 million on their property taxes because they were, you know, they increased their sewer rates by 70% last year and 70% this year and another 40% next year. Yeah.
Jeez Louise.
So yeah, it's just like.
What's the reasoning for that?
Well, apparently they should have been increasing them every year for the last, you know, 10 or 15 years.
And they didn't.
And now they were so far underwater that they're like, sorry, this is what we're going to have to do. They had a consulting firm come in and do a fee study, and they're like, this is what we're going to have to do. So. And then, you know, and then they have an extra half-cent sales tax down there, too. So, you know, they should be a little bit better than they are. They cut off all travel for all the city council members. They voted themselves to just cut off all travel because it's expenditure they don't have to do. They pulled out of the League of Cities because that was costing them $7,000 a year, and they couldn't go to the meetings anyway. So, I mean, it's a great city council, and it's been a great city council. They've had some, you know, real good city managers with Joey Forsyth. today, and then Jeff Keiser also was a fantastic city manager. So I'm not sure how they got there, but you know that it's the economic times in everywhere is not really great. So our CEO, I remember his first year in our first budgets, he went over the budgets with them, and then he wanted all the department heads to show what it would look like if we had a 10% cut, a 5% or 10% cut. And I mean, and you know, they had to put their budgets with a 5% cut on there. And I mean, it was, people were going to be laid off. And
sure.
So some things were going to, you know, be shut down or whatever. So I mean, again, he put it out there and he said this year there's going to be some budgets that are going to be flat, which, you know, as we all know, it seems like if you get the same budget you did last year, they consider that a cut. You know, we taxpayers are
right, that's like the way Major League Baseball runs.
Right, right. But it truly is a cut because, I mean, the cost of everything has gone up. I mean, the insurance rates are just ridiculous. Yeah. Every budget I go through is just, their insurance has just gone through the roof.
We do have a caller on the line, and Measure B had a turn. And the news was saying one thing, and then we were finding out it's another thing. So, apparently, from what I saw, Measure B had a situation to where everything was fine, it was going to be on the ballot, et cetera, but that isn't quite the case. And, Laura Hobbs, Laura, you got about 5 minutes to the break, hon. Go ahead. Laura, are you there? Are you there?
Yes, I am here. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure,
briefly,
sure.
Okay. We did have a victory in the court on Thursday,
mm-hmm.
both at the local level and the appeals court level. They stayed the TRO, so it's moving forward. However, it's going towards what's called a pre-election judicial review, so we're not out of the woods yet. Judge Hanna has scheduled this for March 25th before the ballots go to print. And we have to contest this in court because the County Board of Supervisors decided not to create a defense. So they basically abandoned us, and it's up to the citizens now, and I'm asking for donations. The website where you can donate is voteforforb.com. Again, voteb.com. And this has been a citizen-led effort from the beginning, completely grassroots. It's an initiative process that allows the citizens to legislate, which is very unique. It's part of the California Constitution and the U.S. Constitution, and everything was done following the legal process for initiatives, and we need citizens to step up now and continue to support this.
Let me ask you a question, Laura. You were saying a pre-election judicial review. That's really not something that's – is that normal? I mean, is that something that's why would they do that? If they lifted the TRO, why would they put forth a judicial review pre-election, and how does that even work? Go ahead.
Yeah, this is extremely rare.
Yeah, that's rare.
Judges in the court systems are very reluctant to do this type of pre-election review because they want to see the democratic process play out before they weigh in.
Right.
But this is a last-ditch effort by certain individuals who don't want us to have a choice. They don't want us to be able to vote on this. And hopefully, with good representation, we will be, again, successful in court on March 25th.
Hmm.
Our briefing is due next week, and we need to raise the funds to retain the lawyer to help us with that.
Well, according to, you know, actually, Hanna was appointed by Governor Newsom. So the thing is that, I mean, is a secretary, is, I mean, I'm not saying that there's a conspiracy theory here, but the thing is the state of California trying to throw a monkey wrench into this, and maybe, do you want to answer that in your opinion? What do you think? Do you think, because Hanna is an appointment by Newsom. Go ahead.
Yes, absolutely. And had we not had representation, we saw what happened at the first hearing. Judge Hanna did not allow us to intervene. Mm. We had no voice at that hearing. The county abandoned us. So we were excluded completely from the judicial process. It wasn't until we had a chance to go to the appeals court that we actually saw things change and move, and we were allowed.
Okay,
to
and we've only got about 30, but I want to ask you a question for clarity. So would it have mattered in the opinion of Judge Hanna if we had sent Johnny Cochran in to defend the measure because California was willing to fight it no matter what. I mean, how if Hanna had made up his mind, and I'm just, again, this is a hypothetical, but if he's already made up his mind and has marching orders from Governor Newsom, his boss, and as the chain of command goes, would this have played out any different? And this is just a question. Would this have played out any different with the county getting in the middle of it? I'm not saying yay or nay on either side. I'm just saying, would it have made a difference to Hanna if Hanna already had an agenda that he was instructed to do? Over.
Well, I can't say for certain, but definitely if you go before the court and you present no defense, literally zero defense, Larmore said, Your Honor, I've been instructed not to take a stand one way or the other, then it's going to default to the plaintiff, and the plaintiff will win. And as far as what actually changed Hanna's mind, I believe it was the fact that it went to the appeals court, and it was undergoing review at the appeals level. He was informed that this was not going to just slide by, and in fact, that's what the court held. They stayed the TRO that he had issued.
Great. Well, thank you, Laura. Appreciate that. It was information
that
we.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yeah, we're just trying to get some clarity on the whole thing. So, yeah, we're going to go off to our break, and then when we come back, we'll be coming back with Chris Kellstrom, running for and is the current supervisor of District 5, and is running again. And he has term limits, which he passed, which I think everybody in America wants term limits for politicians.
Not my jurisdiction.
What's that, buddy?
Not my jurisdiction. I can only handle the county.
But. Yeah, but isn't that great?
Not everybody likes term limits.
Uh-oh. We're going to talk about term limits. Janet doesn't like them. Okay, that'll be fun. All right. Coming back right after this, brief pause. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
I'm all shook up. Yeah. Well, my hand is shaking and my knees are weak.
The National Wild Turkey Federation's 27th Annual Redding Chapter Hunting Heritage Banquet is set for Saturday, March 14th at the Senior Citizen Center at 2290 Benton Drive. Doors open at 4:30 p.m., dinner at 6:30. To purchase tickets for the event, or if you'd like more information, contact Candy Muse at 530-526-8350 or online at nwtf.org/event.
Premier Oil Change is celebrating 20 years of our friendly oil changes. A lot has changed in 20 years, but our commitment to fast, friendly, excellent service has remained the same. To celebrate our 20th birthday, we're offering $20 off any oil change. All you have to do is go to our website at premieroilchange.com and receive your gift. In Redding, check out our new location at 905 East Cypress. Discount also available at our Lake Boulevard, Anderson, and Palisadro location.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Planning a wedding? Celebrate the moment with a free dinner for two at Odell Craft Barbecue. With our slow-smoked brisket that melts in your mouth, even Texans say it's some of the best they've ever had. We cater events and weddings of all sizes, from intimate gatherings to reception and guests. We make delicious food and great service, so you can stay present with the people who matter. Odell Craft Barbecue, real wood, real fire, real flavor. Book your free tasting at ReddingBarbecue.com. Again, book your free tasting at ReddingBarbecue.com.
The only real estate agent I trust right here in Redding and Shasta County is Josh Barker with Josh Barker Real Estate. Now, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Sean.
For homeowners that are planning to list a property for sale, when should they start preparing and what key steps should they prioritize during the initial stages?
You know, that's actually a really good question. We've learned that the most successful sellers will actually get started early. So they'll normally meet with us long before spring and really identify what types of home improvements they might want to consider so they can maximize their value when they bring the home to the market. We'll also discuss things like marketing strategy, what types of things we want to do to maximize the benefit when we start promoting it up and down the state and across the country. And the final thing we'll do is have a broad stroke conversation around price. Just knowing that we'll actually refine that price at the very end, just before we get live, so we can maximize every penny possible.
Go online to reddinghomes.com or just Google Josh Barker.
Hi, I'm Dr. Maria Salas, owner of HealthWise Chiropractic. My focus is to help people feel better, look better, and take control of their health with a simple, life-changing plan. It starts with smarter eating choices and adding the right amount of protein to support gut health and reduce inflammation. You'll also receive weekly accountability coaching, a free guide, and a complimentary consultation with me, Dr. Maria Salas. Ready to feel your best? Call or text 530-227-3984.
Mandina's Cabinets in Anderson designs custom kitchens, bathrooms, and offices that no big box store can match. They are the local pros who know.
Mandina's Cabinets, the local pros who know. Mandina's Cabinets, the local pros.
530-365-8108 or visit mandinascabinets.com.
As we all get older, the one constant thing is the aggressive, excessive mail and advertising for Medicare, Medicare supplements, and Medicare Advantage. And almost every one of them is a call center with no idea of what you really need. Siskiyou Insurance has an agent that deals with nothing but Medicare issues and can explain the differences clearly between a Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage. Call Greg Green at Siskiyou Insurance at 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up, stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up, stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up.
Sally Lou, get up, we're fed up, stand up for your rights. We're here with Chris Kallstrom, supervisor of District 5. He's running again for a second term. And just before the break, we were talking about term limits. And I think that when it comes to term limits for supervisors, I liked it. I like that happening. A lot of people get in there. I mean, I saw David Keogh the other day.
Yeah.
Saw David Keogh in Costco, and he knew where it was, you know, so. But, I mean, talk about people who run for life, so. Anyway, getting back to District 5 and some of the things that have happened there, there was something else we were talking about before the break, that you, apparently, a letter that was sent off or something, or?
James Gallagher came and presented to us, you know, before Doug LaMalfa passed and everything else, but he came to us and presented, he wanted to do a state split. He wanted to basically, they were the counties of Jefferson for the most part. I think he also included like Humboldt and Del Norte, but, he wanted to do a state split. He wanted to take it to a lot of the other counties and see if they would sign on board with it to kind of, you know, let California know that these people in these areas, you know, would like to split from California. So Shasta County was the first one to sign off on it. I'm not sure how far he got with the other counties, if he got any more support from other counties out there. But then, of course, Doug LaMalfa died and, you know, kind of threw a wrench in everything. So,
yeah, if you have a question for Chris, it's 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. So we have Mike Gallagher coming on next week, and then I believe Gary Oxley is coming on April the 26th. But every week we're going to make sure we have, as we have Chris on today, that we have everyone who's running for office that'll be on. Kevin Cry is on the 29th, I believe. So we're going to have, and Aaron Reznor, I think, is the 19th of April. So we have, and Rich Gallardo is the 21st, or whatever, I think the 21st, 22nd, whatever Sunday that is. So we're going to give everybody an hour, and we will do have two phone lines. So we'll give people an opportunity to call in and ask a question. But I'm going to caution you first. I will cut you off if there's personal attacks on anybody. If there's any kind of personal attacks, I mean, I'm good with questions. I'm good with all of that. But personal attacks, I will not put up with. Okay? So with that being said, Dan, how are you, sir? What do you have to say? Dan, are you there?
Well, this is Angela and Bernie. That's who you mean.
Oh, okay. He put Dan up here.
Well, I'm sorry, Dan. I'm first.
Yeah, anyway, it's Dan. That's Dan. You're now Dan. You're no longer okay. Andrew. You're now
this
Dan.
This is Dandrew.
Dandrew. You're Dandrew.
Right. Oh, good Lord.
You got a lot going on in the background, Dandrew.
Yeah, I accidentally hit the wrong button. Hey, I believe in term limits. From my experience in life, the first term in office, the second term prison. So that's just my comment.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay. Well, that was short for Andrew.
Okay, this is Mary. Are you sure this is Mary? Alex, is this Mary? Mary, what say you?
Good morning, State of Jefferson.
Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. Chris, when you were campaigning on your first term, you promoted an idea with homes that were older that had taken out a non-permit, like they attached a shop or they attached something to their garage or whatever, and the structure had been standing for 25 years, and now it's such a, you know, they want to come back and cause all this problems. And you had campaigned that you thought that was a really bad idea. If the structure was standing that long, it obviously was a great structure, and that you felt that we should change that to, I don't know what you called it, but I thought that was a heck of an idea. And it kind of just died in the Shasta County. Maybe it helped, you got it for your constituents down there. But as chair now, can you bring that back to life?
Well, I deal with issues similar to what you're talking about pretty much every week. So there's a lot of areas out there that they've got a, not necessarily a lien on them, but they've got a negative thing on their property that this was built without a permit. I mean, I just dealt with it at Vic Hannon's, actually. Vic Hannon was trying to sell his place. He'd gotten in, little arguments with the county in years past when they were very, very difficult to deal with. And so he kind of just stopped complying and started doing, you know, his own thing. He put up a tent that wasn't permitted, and so now the new owners, I've worked with the county and him, and they tried to find him a path forward every way they could. The tent either had to be torn down, or I just had to be told to the new owners that this was built without a permit, and that's what they ended up doing. So the new owners have it. I just talked to the new owners a couple weeks ago, because they want to keep the tent up there. But, you know, it's not permitted, and, you know, so I deal with those things every single week. So as far as just making a blanket across the entire county and saying, hey, everything that's ever been built without a permit now is grandfathered in, it's all fair, that's probably not going to happen. But I do deal with those issues every single week. And, again, our new resource manager and his team is fantastic, and they have found multiple paths forward with dozens of people.
Do you, even though I'm not in your district, I'm in Long's district, heaven forbid, but do you help people that aren't in your district?
Absolutely.
If there's issues?
Absolutely. Okay. All the time.
Okay. So it's kind of on an individual basis.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Reach out to me. Send me a text or phone call, 744-4539.
I can verify that Chris Kellstrom is not in District 3 where I am, but he is active in District 3, taking care of problems, looking at what's going on. So, yes, he represents the county. He does not represent District 5 exclusively.
Yeah, in fact, I'm not going to be able to call out bingo numbers at the end of this month because in Shingletown, because I have a meeting in Castle already set up with Courtney Harmon to go meet with those people up there.
Yeah. Very, very active throughout the county.
Well, Chris, I have to say you're one of my favorites up there. So
keep doing
the job you do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have a lot going on here with in the county, and we have a lot going on with the DA at this point. There was another program on today where an attorney got on and talked about some different things and really wasn't favorable toward the DA. I'm not really clear totally on what there's a court case against the district attorney. I believe it's about that she used her staff for her campaign while they were working. And did she admit to that?
Well, so there was an investigation done a couple years ago, and they, you know, looked through the emails and looked through a lot of the stuff, a lot of the comments online during business hours, and so they did an investigation. Investigation didn't satisfy some people, but there was an investigation done. She admitted that there was some times when she did you know, did do some campaigning or did make some comments on Facebook posts and whatever during business hours. It was taken to the Attorney General. The Attorney General said it did not reach the level of criminality, so there's basically nothing to see here. So they moved on.
Okay, so with that, the case is going on, but the way I understand it, the county is going to represent her and defend her with taxpayer money, and I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm just saying there must be a reason why that decision was made. What was the reasoning behind the decision of, even though the district attorney had admitted that she had done some wrongdoing, and yeah, I know there was Bonta, okay, so all I need to say is Bonta, who's our attorney general. But anyway, so with that going on, what was the reasoning behind it? There must have been a reason to defend her and use taxpayer money to do it.
So there is a case precedent down in Southern California in LA Community College, where there was an individual was advisor or a counselor, and okay. A young lady came in to change a class. He closed the door behind her, locked the door. Did sexually assaulted her. I don't know how far it went. Regardless, doesn't matter. But sexually assaulted her. The young lady made a complaint. He ended up resigning, and of course took his severance package and everything else with him. The young lady sued the school and himself. He went to the school and said, you need to provide me with a defense. And the school said, we're not providing you with your defense. You're a dirtbag. And he hired his own high-powered lawyer. They went to court. She took a settlement. He went back to the college and said, okay, now you need to pay for my defense. And they said, no, we're not paying for your defense. He said, I never admitted guilt. She didn't prove guilt. He says, so therefore, I was doing my normal job duties during the normal business hours, so you have to defend me. You have to indemnify me. And they end up having to pay his court fees. So it's already there that, you know, Stephanie Bridget, if she was doing wrongdoing, and I'm not saying she was, I'm not saying she wasn't, but if there was wrongdoing there, it was during the course of her normal business hours or normal business day. Now, it wasn't, you know, if it was something nefarious there or whatever, it's already been investigated, so... Theoretically, if we had not given her a defense, then she could have hired a $2,000 an hour attorney. You know, if this thing ends up going to court and doesn't have it, the county's going to be on the hook for that.
Okay, so... But,
what a racket.
Well, not only... But I don't see the correlation of the cases. One case is a sexual harassment case. The other one, it has to do with an elected official who has admittedly said that she used her folks to help her with her campaign.
And that was taken to the Attorney General.
I'm not saying that. I'm just trying to see the correlation of that case and this case. I don't see any connection. I understand the part about maybe the county being on a hook for another attorney, you know, for her defense. But again, I mean, sometimes we've got, you know, Wynn, what do you think about that?
Well, I'm just curious. What did the Attorney General have to do with it, and who took it to the Attorney General?
The investigator. Okay. Probably the county and the investigator.
Okay.
Because the Attorney General is responsible for the sheriffs and the district attorneys throughout the state.
There you go. Not the people.
Not the people. Our state constitution.
Not the local jurisdiction where it should be.
Yeah.
Well, the people are in charge of elections, and she got elected, so, I mean...
Well, wait a second. Okay, but there's still no correlation.
And there's questions about
I understand the money-spending part. I get that. I get the fact that we don't want to spend too much money. We don't want to spend money on anything. We have a measure now that we don't want to spend money on to defend that measure against the government. But, again, it's taxpayer money, and if the people want to use it, it's their money. I mean, the thing is, there's so many different things with taxpayer money. We don't have any say on. I mean, there's money spent every day by counties and cities and places we live in our state. We have no say over. I mean, for the protection of our constitutionally protected voting rights and doing these things, right, wrong, or indifferent, people want that. The same thing with this kind of case. If in fact, how does a sexual harassment from a teacher in a case which is a criminal case have anything to do with the fact that Stephanie Bridget did some campaign no-nos? That's my question.
I think in this case, correct me if I'm wrong, Chris, but the board was functioning under the advice of the county council.
We were given the case files from the other cases, and so.
You know, and it's tough because, you know, when you look at the board of supervisors, the you know, how much scrutiny do you see? Here's the thing. Let's say, and I'm just, this is hypothetical, and I want to, I'll do this quick so we can get some response from Chris and from Janet and from Lynn. Okay, if in fact you have a county council, let's say he's taken four or five cases that are against the county and he's won this. It's hypothetical. He wins those cases, then all of a sudden at what point do you think, well, I got all this work to do, this guy seems to be okay, so I'll just leave in his hands and take his advice because I haven't got time for that. I've got all this other stuff. I've got people to take care of.
I think this argument should be best taken up with Mr. Larmer, not Mr. Hellstrom.
I agree.
Yeah.
And just so everybody knows, Joe Larmer does not give us his opinion. Joe Larmer does not tell us how we should vote. Joe Larmer comes in, he gives the facts, he gives the case law, he says, this is where we're at, this is what it is, you guys make the choice.
So he doesn't give you any advice?
He explains the laws to us. So for instance, I mean, this, well, let's just take the Stephanie Bridget case. He came in, said, this is where we're at. You know, she's basically, she's an elected official, but she's a county employee. It's during her normal business hours. Here's another case that was during normal business hours that the school ended up having to be on the hook. So this is the cases. You guys figure out what you want to do. You know, this is where we're at. And,
well, the next time I'm a county employee, I think I'll go rob a bank during my lunch hour.
I mean, I can't see the correlation. I mean, I'm trying to see it. I just, I mean, you know,
Well, if we can't prosecute a county official for doing illegal acts in her office during business hours, then where's the consequence for wrongdoing?
So you say we can't prosecute.
Who
would be prosecuting her? The Attorney General.
Exactly.
And that's where the findings were taken. That's where the investigation was taken to.
Yeah.
And the Attorney General said this did not reach the level of criminality.
Yes, and I understand. And gosh, I'm sounding like a broken record. We could solve all of this with a state split. Let's just get rid of California.
Well, I think and you're right. You know, that's true. The thing is, the reality is that it's not going to get any better unless we take we take some sort of radical stand. You know, if in fact, I mean, Shasta County now, and all of us know this because we've all seen these different podcasts and things like that and been witness to them, that Shasta County really is the tip of the spear. Now we have Clint Curtis, who's running for, and is our current ROV officer, and we have Joanna Francesca, who's running. What's your observation, Chris, on those two whoever gets elected? What does that look like to you? What does that whole thing look like to you?
Well, I met with Joanna not too long ago, and you know, Joanna, I think she's a great person. You know, she was a great employee for us for a long time. Obviously, some people would disagree with that, but I've never had a problem. But I did point out to her the great things that Clint has done to that office. The ballot security is absolutely amazing. The transparency is fantastic. Filming the ballots as they go into the machine, you know, so we have a photographic record of what went in. It better match what came out that backside. So I basically, when I talked to her, it was like, you know, whoever wins, either one of you, I would love to see those practices move forward, you know, regardless of whether it's Joanna or Clint. I would love to see the ballot security continue like Clint has set it up now. I'd love to see the transparency be set up like Clint has set it up now. So, you know, I am a big fan of what he's done, and he got rid of drop boxes per, basically Kevin and I kind of pushing him to get rid of drop boxes, and he got us down to the bare minimum, which is four in the county, and all those four drop boxes have a camera over the top of them, so we can see what's going in there. If, you know, we have a video of somebody coming up with a giant backpack full of ballots and stuffing them in there, well, we'll know that might have been nefarious, so.
Well, Joanna, though, was complicit with the Zuckerbuck money. And I can think of 8 months ago or 10, whenever that was, all of you guys on the board were all going, oh my gosh, how could she get away with this? You can't do that. She went against our wishes. How does that equivocate into trust now and her being trustworthy? And it's just a question that a lot of people have. I mean, how do you see her in the light you're presenting when she did all of that stuff? And there are emails to the effect, and she, how do you, I'm trying to get my head wrapped around. Just go ahead.
I'm going to concentrate on my race. I'm not running for registered voter. So
okay. Well, the only reason I bring it up is because I think it has something to do with all the supervisors.
But race. She was in direct defiance of directions from the Board of Supervisors.
Yeah.
It was called insubordination.
With our
and that carries a power of termination.
With our old county council that has left, as have three others in his office from that time.
Okay. So the new county council, well, again, he just gives you the law. So there's no active pursuit on what she did, and we're going to bring her back after she did that. And that would be okay. I mean, you guys brought in Clint, and I don't know. I think it is relevant to every single supervisor, everybody running for supervisor, that the registrar of voters, whom they control the budget of, that yeah, there should be some concentration on that. Voting is how we exercise our liberty, how we exercise our republic, our democracy, every other word you can possibly think of. But my question is, if there are some things that were highly irregular, very quickly a run-in I had with Joanna and Kathy Darling Allen was when they wouldn't allow two people to be poll workers or observers because of their political views. And I cited to them that has nothing. They can have any political view they want to do those jobs. You can't restrict them, and that's the law. So I'm trying to figure out how...
Chris,
I think it's important.
What kind of control, what kind of direction do you have over the ROV's office?
Well, like I say, I didn't have the control of it, but Kevin Cry and I both talked to Clint. We had talked to Joanna, too, previously, and then we talked to Clint about getting rid of the drop boxes, get down to the bare minimum drop boxes. And he got rid of most of the drop boxes down to, I think, the four that we have to have. So, I mean, we can try to give them direction, but they're an elected official. We don't control them. Let's be quite frankly, back in June, I saw our county ROV's office was promoting a gay pride event in Reading. They were going to have a booth there, and they were promoting a gay pride event.
Clint was
the ROV.
Okay.
And I called him, and I said, what is this? And he said, those people vote too. And I said, okay, well, if the Cottonwood Militia would like to promote something, can they use the county pages to do that? You know, and he says, well, I'd have to see it at the time. And I said, you know, I'm only calling you, Clint, because I didn't know if you knew this was out there, and I didn't know if somebody was undermining you by putting this on the county pages. And he said, no, he knew about it. So, again, and that's when I told him, I said, listen, you're an elected official. I'm not going to tell you how to run your department. I want to make sure that you are aware of this. And he said he was aware of it.
Yeah,
so.
He wasn't openly insubordinate, and he certainly wasn't, he didn't break the law.
But because that is an elected office, you have limited power.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, yeah, well, usually the budget, right? Money. Okay, we have about 2 minutes left, even though our clock says 9 minutes. We have 2 minutes on the real clock. So you're going to have a fundraiser here pretty quick.
March 28th.
Okay, and where's that going to be, and how do people get a hold of you, et cetera,
Anderson,
et cetera?
VFW. You can go to my website, chriskellstrom.com, or you can go to my Facebook pages. I think it's Re-Elect Chris Kellstrom, District 5. Or you can give me a phone call or a text at 530-744-4539.
So you can repeat that again, buddy.
Yeah.
If you want.
530-744-4539.
Okay. So, and with that, anything else?
Well, you know, we were talking about pushing back on California. So just so you know, I mean, we do that every chance we get. You know, mm-hmm. I'm sitting on the RABA board. So I had them send a letter to California to ask us for an exemption because they want us to have all electric buses down the road and et cetera. So, and then I sit on the Shasta Region Transportation Agency board. They did a study. It probably cost $100,000 on viability of a bus route to Eureka, up to Medford, over to Reno, or down to Sacramento. And I pushed back then saying, you know, did you figure any technology into this thing, because there's not an electric bus that'll get you to Medford or Eureka or Reno, and you'll have to switch buses three times to get down to Sacramento and back. You know, so we sent a copy of that report to CARB saying, because of your ridiculous regulations, none of this is viable. So we push back in California every chance we get.
California is a mess, period. And I think basically, thank you, Chris Kellstrom, District 5 Supervisor. running for a second term. And this is just the main reason why time has really come.
4:51.
Let's get her done.
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.